Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode number 47 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista, and as always, I'm joined here by Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
You know how I am. How are you?
I know how you are. I know I am too. I'm very, very happy with the way this past weekend has panned out.
We are psyched right now.
God, it feels good to be a Knicks fan. I don't know if I've ever been able to say that before, but it feels good to be a fan of the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference.
And you know what? And I just want to get this out of the way right from the beginning. I said, this is why I didn't freak out after the Lakers lost. I said 3-1 would get us the four seed. Did I not say that on our last show?
And we got very lucky.
No matter which games we play, 3-1 should be good enough. And God help us, it was. And the New York Knicks will be hosting the Atlanta Hawks for game one of the first round Eastern Conference Series this weekend at Madison Square Garden. And I could not be more excited. Oh my gosh, what a time to be alive. The New York Knicks are back, baby.
Let's recap this last kind of week real quick. So the Knicks were last time, I don't know when the last time we talked was, but basically there's the real
Clippers game.
Well, there's the really crappy Lakers loss where it was a game.
We talked about that ever. So we can start with that if you want.
Yes. So look, that was just a really crappy loss. There's no other way to put it. The Knicks should have won that game. Just really unfortunate circumstances. RJ was not playing well that game. He was completely off. There wasn't a lot going on. Randle looked very sloppy. And overall, it was a game that the Knicks should have won, but they didn't really deserve to win. So the fact that they lost in such a
way of putting it.
Like, it was such a close game. And because of that, the Knicks should have been on top. But in reality, they did not deserve for it to be that close. So,
I don't think either team really deserved to win that
game. Oh, no, absolutely not.
Both teams played pretty poor, sloppy basketball. And at the end of the day, the reason why I think the Knicks kind of let it the reason why I say that was the Knicks game to lose towards the end of it was just because, you know, they had that 10-point lead with about 5 minutes left. They allowed Wesley Matthews to get an offensive rebound, which is something like with the offensive rebounding and second chance opportunities. We'll get more into that because we're going to have an episode later in the week with a guest. It'll probably be our friend Michael Memis previewing the whole Knicks Hawks series. But for now, we're just going to talk about the end of the season. We're not going to delve into matchups. But anyway, back to that Lakers game. You know, they missed a lot of the clutch shots down the stretch. They allowed that offensive rebound. Julius missed the game winner. And the thing that really stung about that one would be like, that would have been a 4-2 road trip. And that would have been us clinching on our own terms. Obviously we clinched nonetheless. And you know, it wasn't any less sweet, but you know, that just would have been awesome to have. That could have been a very signature win. Obviously it didn't end up mattering, but man, that loss really stung.
Yeah, no. And like overall watching that game, like that was so heartbreaking, especially towards the end, because I really couldn't tell what was going on. So I was following over Twitter and it was just like, oh, we were so close. Yeah, it was a really weird situation. But basically, I wasn't able to watch the end of the game. And then after that game, the Knicks fell. That was after that game that the Knicks fell to the sixth seed, right?
They did. They fell into sixth for a couple days after.
So, you know what? I was a little skeptical after that. I mean, I didn't really – like, look, obviously the Knicks clinched a playoff spot, but I really wanted a 4 or 5 seed, and I didn't know how possible that was with the way that the Heat were playing. And then when the Heat beat the Sixers, I was like, man, this is going to be really tough. And then I know that all Knicks fans –
That's a good segue into Thursday night's game, which was San Antonio, a game that they looked pretty crappy for about half of it. They had a very bad third quarter. And they stormed back and they won. And after that, you know, I was confident that Miami was either going to lose to Philly or Milwaukee down the stretch. I thought they were going to sweep Boston, and I knew that they beat Detroit yesterday or Houston, whichever.
You know, we were very big, very big Milwaukee fans the other night.
But I was pretty confident that the Heat were not going to win out at that point. And that the Knicks, if they handled their business, they'd still be able to do it. So that's what Thursday's win was big. Because there was a point on Thursday night where the Knicks were down double digits and the Heat were up double digits. And it was like looking like, all right, we're just going to have to prepare to play the Bucks. Mm-hmm. And obviously it shaked out differently. And obviously now we get our game one at home. But, you know, they dug deep. Alec Burks dropped 30 off the bench in that game. You know, just resurging off the bench. Doesn't miss a beat from missing a bunch of games due to COVID. And, you know, the Knicks continue to get that secondary scoring from whether it be Alec Burks, RJ, Derek Rose, Emmanuel Quickly, someone stepping up every single time. And I'd love it to be more consistent. But, you know, Julius is going to need his second fiddle, especially the way he's been shooting the ball lately.
Absolutely. And you know what? Like, just to take a point on Randall real quick just to like say something. I have like I wouldn't say I'm concerned, but I could definitely tell from watching the past few games that there are definitely like flashes of his old self where it's like sloppy play. Towards the end of the Celtics game yesterday, I mean, he had that really bad turnover that reminded me of last year where, you know what, I'm not concerned in the sense where I'm hoping that it's just kind of like a fluke here and there, but
I'm hoping that the teams have, they have, because if they figured out Julius Randle's game, RJ is going to have to pick it up. Derrick Rose is going to have to pick it up. Alec Burks, Reggie Bullock, all of our secondary scorers are really going to have to pick up some slack. And, you know, it's going to be really good for the Knicks to get this week off because Julius Randle's been struggling in the second half down the stretch. And if he can just get his legs back, you know, be ready for that first round series because it's going to be a grind. Atlanta is a tough team and they're 27-11 under Nate McMillan. So
I just want to say, me and my friend Kevin, we bought two.
Kevin!
Me and my friend Kevin bought two $16 off the Knicks website, $16 Frank Ntilikina jerseys that are coming in tomorrow because they're on sale. Granted, the
City Edition shirt.
They might be women's jerseys, but I don't think there's that much of a difference. So hopefully we're good.
Here's a rallying cry for everyone. So Anthony's women's Frank Ntilikina jersey and my Emmanuel Quickly signed ball. Obviously, this is a audio pod, but you get it. I got a signed ball. If you follow me on Twitter, you saw because I was actually popping off on that tweet. I have like 150 likes on that tweet, which is actually sick. No, seriously, look. I have a hundred. Look at that. Look at those numbers, dude. I was doing numbers. Yeah, but if you follow me on Twitter, you saw. But you know that women's jersey and the IQ ball that's gonna power us through into a deep playoff run, hopefully. I'm feeling some type of way about this Knicks team, man. They better not lay an egg this week against the Hawks, man. So, anyway, to continue on to Saturday, going into this game, the Knicks were still the six. They had Charlotte on the ropes. They were up by, I believe, 21 at one point in the second half. And, you know, they let their foot off the gas pedal. They either got tired or they were looking ahead. And Charlotte stormed back. They took the lead and eventually took it to overtime. But then once again, the Knicks kind of just stepped on their throats in the overtime period. I think that steps the Knicks up to about, they're either 4-2 or 5-2 in overtimes this year, which is very good. But I mean, that was a tough grinded out kind of win. And, you know, seeing a shooting slump like that was a little bit concerning, but you know, hey, they got the job done. And later on in the night, obviously, Milwaukee got the job done for us, which led us into Sunday. Do you have any thoughts on Saturday's game?
Look, Saturday's game, I didn't really watch the entirety of it. I only saw parts of it. But in terms of that ending, like I said before, sloppy play has been an issue with the Knicks in the second half recently. But in terms of overtime, they completely, like, pretended that that never happened. And they played really solid in terms of, I mean, what did they win by, 9? I think.
Yeah, they went on a 14-5 run in overtime.
So they really cleaned up their act on in after regulation. Sorry, I can't speak. But I wasn't too concerned about that game. Obviously, it was a must-win game. And for a young Hornets team that is looking for the playoffs, it was just kind of like disappointing to see different parts. I mean, the Knicks should have won that game much earlier than they did. They had a really crappy second half. I talked about that. Bridges kind of had an amazing kind of run in the middle of that. But
Graham, they were both
killing. Yeah, exactly, both of them. But I don't know. I like this Hornets team. The Hornets are one of my, like, probably my second favorite.
All the way to 10, right?
Yes, I think so.
We're going to be in Indiana for the first game tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm hyped to watch this play-in tournament.
Me too.
The greatest off Knicks for a second. We get to watch the two greatest players of our generation duke it out in a 7-8 game. And yes, that is my take. The two greatest players of our generation, LeBron and Steph.
So, I agree with that.
I don't think that's too hot of a take. If anyone has a problem with that, I'll debate it with you. But I feel like
I think you're good.
That's pretty standard. But anyway, I'm excited for that, you know?
As well.
But, to go off of that, Anthony, is like Sunday's game was the same thing. Like they had a bad 4 or 5 minute stretch and they allowed a team that was not as good as them to get back in the game. And, you know, I don't know if that's fatigue. I don't know if that's that they were looking ahead at the playoffs, if they were already thinking Atlanta, if they were already thinking 4 seed, if they were already thought they had the win locked up. All I know is that that's not going to fly starting Saturday or Sunday, whenever we have game 1 versus Atlanta. They're going to have to be locked in for 48 minutes in a row. None of this sloppy play, none of this half attitude play. And, you know, they got the job done in the regular season, but it's a whole different animal now. And for Sunday's game, which was the game I was at, obviously they were in control for most of the second half and they kind of just let it go towards the end. Obviously, Reggie Bullock hit a big shot. Julius Randle hit a free throw and they played really good defense down the stretch to edge it out and get that four seed, but closer than it needed to be in both of those games.
Absolutely. And you know what, like, this is the Celtics reserve team that you're talking about. And I don't want team.
That's like Worcester Celtics right there or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
The Red Sox AAA team. I don't know.
No, but what's it called? In terms of this game, like, the Knicks showed their strength at the end of the first half, and then they kind of did their second half collapse thing in the third quarter. They were able to hold on, but if they want to win this first round series against the Hawks, they need to improve their play in terms of sloppiness, in terms of effort, in terms of hustle in the second half especially. It's necessary. It's absolutely necessary if they want to make it to the second round. Because, you know, this Hawks team, I don't know too much about, and I think we're probably going to have another episode before the playoffs come out, so we'll talk more.
Yeah, just a full deep dive into the series, into the matchups, what we expect. And we will have a guest for that, as we said.
But overall, like, I just feel like they need to clean up their play if they want to be considered a playoff team.
And I think they know that. Yeah, I think obviously they know that they need to clean up their play. I trust in Thibodeau. I trust that this week will be a week where they get their rest. They kind of heal up a little bit, whichever nagging injuries or whatever it is with Derrick Rose or Alec Burks or IQ or just any of those guys. Just kind of clean it up a little bit and, you know, be ready to go and fully rejuvenated for Saturday or Sunday. Yet at the same time, they have to be formulating a plan because a 7-game series is a whole different monster that they're going to need to attack. And I trust that Thibodeau will have a plan in place. And yeah, I mean, we're not going to dive too much into what the Hawks are doing just yet, but I trust that Thibodeau is going to have a plan for keeping Capella off the boards, for keeping Trae Young off the scoring sheet, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's going to be a good head coaching matchup, but I don't know. I like the Knicks if they can stay focused. I really do, because of just we have a better defensive-minded team, the grittiness of our veterans that have been playing big roles. You know, we were the Island of Misfit Toys, and look at us now. We're the 4 seed, and we get game one at Madison Square Garden in a playoff
series. So crazy to think about, man.
Yeah, I mean, what a season. I mean, just overall, what a regular season. 41-31 in fourth place in the East. I would have signed up for that 100,000 times.
I want to go back and watch our season preview. I haven't done that,
and I think I will probably do it within the next week because,
as well.
I mean, we wanted Randall gone. We wanted RJ to take that next step, and I think it's safe to say that he has with his shooting numbers. We were I don't even think we were talking about Emmanuel Quickley. Derrick Rose wasn't a Knick yet. We weren't all that excited about guys like Burks, Bullock, and Noel that have just been incredible role players for us. I mean, just
I love Nerlens Noel, man. Nerlens Noel with his like actual block party. And you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Mitch. We talked about that last episode, but the idea that Nerlens Noel
comes back is if we get to the conference final.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I don't really see him coming back, but Nerlens Noel, man, what an absolute like
what a stud. And yeah. Taj Pipton too. Just completely turning around his graces from last year. Knicks fans did not like that dude. I myself included. He's had a great season as the backup center.
Look,
he's playing defense too. He's got active hands. He can block it. You know, he's not silly with his fouls most of the time. I mean, the one thing, and I'll say this now, and we'll get more into this obviously later in the week. We need to be better on the boards.
Yes, that's definitely
the second chance opportunities cannot happen the way they've been happening. Because
in terms of all
that's my biggest gripe with the Knicks. That and the little spurts where they just go 5 minutes without hitting a field goal. That pisses me off. But something that can be easily fixed is just a better plan with the boards. Like they gotta fix that. Or else they're not gonna beat Atlanta.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like it's In terms of the past few games, it's been like increasingly obvious solely because, I mean, obviously we haven't had Robinson.
I mean, those where we're as good as our centers have been, we're missing our starting center.
But look, we're going into the playoffs without him. So we have to gauge. It doesn't matter that he's not here right now. We can't use that as an excuse anymore. Mitch is not coming back for the first round, meaning that we need the Knicks need to plan around getting these rebounds, which they haven't been able to do consistently. And you know what? Nerlens Noel has been an absolute incredible presence in the paint in terms of defense and blocking shots. But in terms of rebounds, he cannot be the only one going up for a board. And obviously Randall's been putting up his numbers, but I don't know. There needs to be more presence on these defensive and offensive rebounds because second chance points have been killing us recently.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't have said it better. There's a couple things that the Knicks really do have to clean up their act on. And, you know, they haven't been playing perfect basketball down the stretch, but, you know, what do you expect? I mean, they've done just about everything that we've needed them to do. And, you know, they're 16-4 in their last 20 games of the regular season. And that's as good as you can ask for, pretty much. Mm-hmm. One thing I will say, and this is another thing we're going to have to get into later in the week, Wednesday, Thursday, whenever we record our preview show. Our starting point guard is a detriment to the team. Yeah. I don't think that's any secret.
Definitely.
Just a immediate negative impact in every way whenever he's on the floor. I mean, I don't know how else I can expand upon that just because everything has been horrible. We can't space the floor on offense. It's silly turnovers. Cannot make a shot. The defense is overrated. Yeah, number six could really just lose us some playoff games. I'm not even exaggerating. That is not a guy you want. And with a guy like Trae Young, a new age point guard, and I know we love him, but Frank Ntilikina has to get minutes.
Frank Ntilikina has to get minutes. I had an argument with someone.
I'm not even saying it because we love him. He has to get minutes.
I had an argument on an Instagram post with someone about this because I need like
the I don't know how there are still Alfred sympathizers out there. I really don't. Our friend Jeremy, who we had on the show. Like, what are you doing, dude?
I cannot wait for next season when Alfred Payton is no longer a part of the New York Knicks rotation because that will be such a great day. Because you know what? Alfred Payton had hit that little span where everyone was like, okay, maybe he could be okay. Maybe he's just like in a bit of a slump. And then that completely turned around right back to square one. And he does not deserve the minutes that he's getting. And if the Knicks want to go far in the playoffs, which they're already the underdogs in that sense, they can't continue.
I'm glad we're the underdogs, by the way. I'm glad. I don't mind that at all. That's good for us. But continue.
The Knicks need to limit Alfred Payton because he has proved to be a detriment to the team's success multiple times. And you know what? I don't want to say, you know what? Let's change up the entire rotation. And you know, and it won't happen. Alfred Payton will continue to start throughout the playoffs because
I think Frank should just get his minutes to start each half. And then whenever you need offense, defense in the end of a close game, Frank comes in for Quickly or Burks or whatever.
Yes.
I mean, it's really not that hard. It's just this guy cannot – and you say limited. I would go as far as saying this guy cannot touch the floor in a playoff game. It just can't happen.
Yeah. Like, no, I agree.
It cannot happen. Like, he has been – I don't know how you can't see how bad he's been, even in his limited time. His confidence is completely shot as well. There's nothing this guy can do to help us right now. And I'd love to say, like, I hope I'm wrong and he has a 35-point game in the playoffs. Yeah. There's just no chance that's happening. There's just no chance. Like
– look, I'm just glad that his contract's up at the end of the season.
I know. He's gone, but if this guy playing just like the Knicks, for example, like I'm already picturing in my brain right now, it's game three, it's 1-1 in the series or whatever. We're in Atlanta for the first time. We're on the road. They've got the Atlanta crowd, blah, 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 blah. And the Knicks just immediately start off in a 16-4 hole because number six is on the floor doing his thing. You know what I mean? Like I can just picture a moment like that in my brain, just pivotal parts. And that can't happen. So you got to figure that out. I don't know. We'll get more into this in the future. Obviously, I've said that a lot today, but you know, this was supposed to be just more of like an overarching recap from the last week, but you know, we're feeling good about the Knicks. We're excited. I mean, just to have playoff games at the Garden, game one. Wow. Just can't believe it. It's great.
Absolutely.
Do you have any more thoughts?
No, that's about it for me.
Awesome. All right. So baseball for a couple minutes, because we're probably not going to be talking about it very much during this playoff run, I would guess. The Yankees are playing good baseball, but not really, because they always lose the last game of their series. Aaron Judge is on a tear. Gerrit Cole is the best pitcher in the world other than Jacob deGrom, but Jacob deGrom is hurt. So I can say that right now.
And I give you permission as a Mets fan.
Gerrit Cole is the best player on a the best pitcher on a 26-man roster in the world right now, and he pitches tonight. So I'm excited to see that. The Yankees are in Texas. They're two games behind Boston. Do you have your quick 60-second Mets thing now?
I mean, look, the Mets are hurt. There's no other way to put it. The Mets are a hurt team, especially recently with what happened to, you said DeGrom real quick, and then McNeil and Conforto this past week. It's definitely been, like, the Mets have kind of fallen off their pedestal real quick, where they're still winning games, but not in the same way that they should have. They've dropped the last few, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So
they ended their seven-game winning streak with a sweep. They got swept in Tampa.
Look, right now they're in the top of the fourth. It's 0-0 still, but they got swept by the Rays. It's just the Mets have been playing. It hasn't been sloppy because it's
Are
really
you
just
use the I word that you used all year last year to describe the Mets, because I think it might be appropriate.
Inconsistent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. No, it's true. And you know what? Like, I don't want to blame anyone in particular, because it seems like it's just a product of a bunch of things accumulating at once. But I don't know. It's really the pitching over everything. Giving up 12 runs and 7 runs to the Rays isn't ideal, especially when you're only scoring 5-1. So
especially when the Rays were kind of struggling on offense before
exactly.
We set them off. So
look, I don't have too much to say about the Mets, but I don't know. They're still technically in first of the NL East. I think only
NL East is a mess. Holy.
Yeah, the NL East, like, the Mets have kind of gotten bailed out by the rest of the NL East being crappy, but I don't know.
Yankees and the Mets will figure it out. I mean, the Yankees are dealing with a couple injuries as well. Hicks is out. Britton had a setback. Stanton's going to be off for the next week, which is just vanilla. But, you know, both baseball teams seem to be kind of treading water right now. I think that they're too talented to not both pick it up and have incredible hot streaks. I mean, the Mets are on a 7-game winning streak, and the Yankees have won or tied their last 8 series. So, like, it's not like they're playing bad. I guess we just have very high expectations, and they haven't really been able to run away with it yet. But, you know, they'll figure it out, and until then, we have the Knicks to hold us over. I guess we should talk about the Nets just really fast, because technically they're going to play the winner of the game, and hopefully they lose to the Wizards. I hope what Russell Westbrook says, remember me, and just – owns the most insecure NBA superstar in the history of our league, Kevin Durant, just a complete beta. And like, serious, did you see what he said? Like, the Big 15 thing?
Yeah.
Literally, that's exactly what Julius Randle said. Like, and you know what? He's not clever enough to be trolling, because he's just an insecure little baby. But whatever, dude. Like, you didn't want to take on the challenge of winning in New York, and now the city you play in hates you. Whatever. Ooh. No one's going to go to your parade, because no one cares about the Nets.
Like, anything said, else?
The Islanders are up 1-0 in their playoff series, but I don't care.
Nah, hockey.
I don't really care yet. We'll be back later this week. We're not lying this time, because we have Knicks playoffs.
Yes, we have stuff to talk about.
And
so,
I think that we're going to have to probably record after a lot of playoff games. Because
yeah, we'll have a few episodes coming out over the next few weeks. I might be able to somehow get tickets to a game, which would be
cool. I'm trying too, man. I'm trying.
I also don't have money, though, so it really just depends on if Frank knows a guy. But
or if Kyle knows a guy.
Yeah.
That's Big Apple Sports Media goes to the Knicks playoffs.
I would be very happy with that. We'll see. So that's just about going to wrap up.
Put my socials for me right now.
If you want to follow Mr. Kyle Keegan on either Instagram or Twitter, you have to type in at Kyle Keegan. But here's the catch. Here's the catch.
What's the catch, Anthony?
There's no L. The L in Kyle, it's not an L. It's a 1. It's Kyle Keegan.
He must be so clever.
Yeah, no, not really.
Yeah, not really. You're right.
At Anthony Evangelista on Instagram, at Anthony EV7 on Twitter. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.